The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This weekend will mark 6 months since Ireland's first medically supervised injection centre opened in Dublin's south inner city. Operated by Merchants Key Ireland, it's been used more than 4,000 times. Our reporter Emma Tyrrell visited the Riverbank Centre to find out more about this 18-month pilot. Listeners may find some of the content of the report distressing, but I just want to confirm that any active drug users to whom Emma spoke were not high at the time of recording and did give consent.
Cost is like people's lives, and again, that's not a statistic. You know, I've seen people die in front of me, I've called ambulances, I've been left to die because people are scared they'll be arrested and they just run off and leave someone on the ground. You know, that don't happen in if you've got people looking after you. It's also just the whole experience of using it is surreal.
Amber, which is not her real name, is one of 677 active drug users who have used this injection centre in the 6 months it's been operating. She agreed to speak to us anonymously about her own experience. The facility that was first proposed a decade ago has 7 booths, medically trained staff, aftercare and support services. It's been visited 4,200 times since December 22nd, offering clients somewhere they can legally inject drugs using sterile equipment.
A bit more comfortable, and we're kind of getting to know the clients more as well. Like, sometimes they'll need to come.
My name is Shane Dean, and I'm a drugs worker here. I'm a project worker in Merchants Key. There will be a nurse and a project worker in the injection room, and there's also there'll be extra as well. But the minimum will be 2 nurses before we can open, and then a nurse and a project worker in the aftercare. So the 3 questions that are usually asked every time somebody comes in is what they're using, where they're going to inject, and then we need to be able to see their drugs before they come into the injection facility.
Eddie Mullins is the CEO of Merchants Key Ireland, which operates the centre. He says the feedback from clients has been overwhelmingly positive.
One of the statistics, which I think is really important, we've had 59 non-fatal overdoses in the facility. And traditionally, those overdoses would have been dealt with by the ambulance service. So you'd often see around the city the ambulance paramedics out on dealing with people on the street. Can be quite a challenging position both for the client and for the ambulance service. We've dealt with all of them bar one in the facility. So our nursing staff have been able to avoid calling an ambulance. They've been able to deal with the overdose with either, as I say, oxygen or naloxone. And they've been able to monitor the person until they're well and in a position to leave. And we've spoken to the ambulance service about that. And they've confirmed that there's been a dramatic drop off in the number of ambulances called to the area. So if you think, you know, if you're not calling an ambulance to Merchants Key, that ambulance is available to go somewhere else. So there are other consequences of a facility like this that benefits society.
Using it is surreal because it's something that, yeah, I've been using drugs since I was 12. I first used heroin, IV heroin at 14. And it's this, like, secret, shameful thing that society thinks is disgusting. But we, like, feel the same way other people do. Like, the other day I was really sick. I just got out of hospital after an overdose, and I was standing down this laneway. I actually remember thinking of while we walked down this lane between 2 buildings on Thomas Street, and I remember thinking it was like a portal to another world that most people don't know exists, and it's just stank back there. I was absolutely filthy, like, trying to stand up and chewed up, like, because it was so awkward. And on that particular occasion, we weren't in the MCF because it weren't open.
The service operates for 54 hours a week from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30, and again from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday to Friday, while weekend hours are from midday to 7 p.m. with an average of 40 to 60 people coming through the doors each day.
I remember thinking at the time, like, people blame us for them corners of the city existing. They think that we're like sewer rats or something. I mean, sewer rats deserve better, but they think we create the city being disgusting. We are what's disgusting. We feel just like anybody else does, you know? I can't get the smell of that alley out the back of my throat days later. I don't want to be there. Nobody does. But it's like, you won't be interrupted. It's actually nerve-wracking, like, injecting somewhere else. Like, we're still human. We bleed the same way anyone else does. You're trying to... I've run out of veins in my arms, so you roll your waistband down to inject into your groin, and, like, if you jump, you could hit the wrong thing. I've broke a needle in my arm. I had to go into hospital for, x-rays to see if I had metal in my arm, and I was in for days with cellulitis, where you get, like, general infection from it. people die of sepsis, you know, and all them things, they're like so preventable.
Andy O'Hara, the coordinator of ISHCA, the National Advocacy Service for People Who Use Drugs, says the injection centre has been a revelation for drug users.
When you have to find somewhere to inject five times a day, it's hugely stressful, it's hugely time consuming. You know, it gives you very little time to think of anything else. We've had a good few people say to us, now that I'm actually have that stress has been released and I have a chance to breathe, I'm now starting to consider, do I want to come down off drugs? What are my pathways away from drug use? So those conversations are happening and they are facilitated by the processes in place over at the MCIF.
The centre was a long time in the making and faced dozens of objections, including from businesses and a nearby school. I walked around the streets surrounding the facility to ask people in the area whether they think the injection centre is having a positive impact.
I haven't noticed much of a difference, but I do think it's more ethical to have them here. Yeah, like the supervised centres. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Would you notice people kind of taking drugs around? And?
Yeah, you'd always see it. So I don't, but like I said, I only started here about 6 months ago, so I don't know whether it's kind of gone down or gone up or whatever. It is something that you would notice around here a lot. But whether or not it's an improvement, the current levels are an improvement on what it was, I don't know one way or another.
So we're not seeing any significant increase in either people selling drugs or new people using our service. Mersin's Keith's been here for 40 years. The services have evolved over many years. We've had a harm reduction service for many years. So a lot of our clients have used the service. And what I used to say to people who have concerns about this is kind of an extension of a service that was here. So if you were using drugs prior to this opening, you were coming into Mersin's Keith and getting your needles, and then you were going around the corner to inject. So it's just an extension of a very important service. So we haven't seen a dramatic increase in the number of people using our service. A lot of the clients have been and are still known to us. We do see it as very much as a community service, but we are always conscious that we have to keep working to reassure people in the community, our neighbours, our friends, you know, business community. We are in a very touristy area, you know, so we have to work every day to try and address issues that arise, and they will arise.
I know one of the hopes was there'd be less, say, syringes, drug paraphernalia around the streets and less people using drugs around the area. Yeah. Now, walking around, I could see syringes and that kind of thing. I could see people still taking drugs.
Yeah, no, I mean, I suppose, first thing, two couple of things I'd say, the service is only open 6 months, so there still is, you're dealing with a cohort of people who have very, very significant mistrust of state agencies and organisations. They've been shunned and you know, and they've been rejected in the past. So there's a cohort of people who are still reluctant to use it. We do, there are pockets of people that we haven't really managed to encourage, like young people. So, you know, I'm talking about young adults in 19, 20, in their early 20s, who don't want to admit they're injecting drugs. We have an outreach team that goes out every day. I think it's four patrols a day, and they collect paraphernalia, but they record everything they collect. So we have seen a significant reduction in drug paraphernalia, but it's still out there. And like, we are only open for a defined period of time, so while we're closed, if people are injecting drugs, they're going to continue to do so on the street. So it's not a perfect service. And I think the last point I'd make is that there's a lot of people who are smoking crack cocaine. That seems to be a bigger issue than injecting, and this facility does not support people who smoke.
Andy O'Hara says allowing people to test their drugs at the centre, similar to initiatives at festivals, would help people make safer decisions. He also says expanding the facility to become a consumption rather than just an injection room would also increase the numbers benefiting from the service.
I think it definitely needs to open more, you know. I think we have to make sure it's accessible as much as possible. I think there'd have to be a further piece of work done to see whether it would be used 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it definitely needs to be open. But there are times when it's not open that we know that people are using on the street. And I think one of the big issues as well is that it's not a consumption room. Most of the space in Europe have turned into consumption rooms. And as people will be aware of walking around Dublin, there's a huge amount of people smoking crack and inhaling their drugs. So, I mean, it would benefit them to be in a safe environment, and it would benefit the community.
this is an 18-month trial. Would you be hopeful that it will be retained?
Licensing and the planning were for 18 months, and there were a number of conditions attached to both. So there's an independent evaluation, a child impact assessment in the community. They're all been they've been undertaken, and they're ongoing at the moment. And then also the evidence and the data in relation to the usage and how it has impacted on clients. So there'll be a client input, and there will be the evidence and the data that we collect over the 18 months. And I would be I'd be unbelievably disappointed if it wasn't continued, because I'm witnessing every day the benefits of it. But again, it's not a decision for us, but we are hopeful. And the signs, as I say, all point in the right direction.
And that report from Emma Tyrrell. If you've been impacted by anything in that report, you can contact the HSE Drugs and Alcohol Helpline, 1-800-459-459. Later.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.